So would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I need ears to hear.
I need ears to hear.
A heart to perceive.
A heart to perceive.
What your spirit
is saying to me tonight.
And I also need eyes to see. What you're up to with me.
With me.
Amen?
Amen.
This week has been an odd week. And when I was studying this morning early, I came across this word that really I knew. I said, this is what you want to talk about. So come with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And we're talking about St. Paul having been in quite a few places, and they're encouraging the people to be true and to stay true in spite of their hardships. So verse 1 says, some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate within them or with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some other believers to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the brothers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Notice it's through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees, notice again, these are Republicans, right? They think they're always right. They could be Democrats, because they've got all the answers. I'm teasing you guys, okay? Hopefully you know that. But they stood up and said the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, this is part. Peter got up and address them. Brothers, he said, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believed. God who knows the heart, hear me, God who knows the heart. Look at your neighbor, say, God knows your heart. He also knows your mouth. But he doesn't try to control it. Amen? So God knows our hearts. Showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. There's your discrimination. Some people think they're so perfect and so right that they'll try to shove whatever gospel they believe down your throat. How many have ever tasted of that type of pressure? Put your hand up. All right. So you know what I'm talking about. Verse 9 says, he made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. How did he purify their hearts?
By faith.
How did he purify my heart?
By faith.
Oh, it's not by scrubbing? No Ajax? No brush? No ammonia? No bleach? Isn't that cool? The only one that really knows what it's like to have open heart surgery is Roy. And he happens to be here tonight. But you see, the purification of the heart is whose job? Yeah. The doctors can do whatever they can do. And they kept my brother alive, thanks to his mom that woke him up and got him to the hospital on time. So we haven't forgotten what God has done to that family. But the purification part is done by who? By God's Holy Spirit. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now, by faith, meaning that you have to declare that your heart is being purified. You have to speak it. It has to be a part of your confession. Because otherwise, if you continue and say, oh, my heart is all full of garbage. I only think bad thoughts. I act in bad ways. I can never be changed. What are you going to be doing?
Exactly what you said.
You're going to cancel God's plan. Why are some Christians blessed and others are not? Could it be maybe their confession needs an adjustment? But if they don't want to learn, what do? Give thanks for the way they are. Because it's the only one that will make you and I perfect is the Lord. The only one that can do the purification of a heart is the Lord. And you know, it's got to be done by faith. It cannot be done by actions or the law, because the Jews tried it for how many hundreds of years? What did they do? They ended up proud, arrogant, and nobody could actually talk to them with any sense. Except that if they had an impact by the Holy Ghost. Verse 10. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. So salvation comes by grace. Faith is the product of choosing to believe that your heart is being purified even now, even tonight, even as we go forward. But the salvation is done by grace, a favor from God, not a favor by you and me scrubbing ourselves to be accepted. Verse 12, the whole assembly became silent. And as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them, when they finished, James spoke up. James is a brother. He's a brother of Jesus. Listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by asking from the Gentiles a people for himself. He showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, meaning Christians, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages? It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them and tell them to abstain from food polluted to idols, from sexual immorality, and from meat strangled animals. From the meat of strangled animals and from blood. For Moses had been preached in every city from the earliest times, and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. Then the apostles and the elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch, etc., etc. Now you say, well, that's kind of nice. But what about how faith works? I want to give you a few scriptures to verify how that exact situation works. Examples are important and they help us. Isaiah 6, verse 7. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." That was Isaiah 6, 7. Notice who did the cleansing. God. Zechariah 3, 4. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Who's doing the cleansing? Who's removing the garments? And who's replacing the garments? God. Kind of cool, right? John 15, 3. This is our Lord speaking. "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." So the word is a word of faith. And when you believe what you have spoken, which Jesus did, Peter was delivered. 1 Corinthians 6:11. "And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Again, it's the Holy Spirit cleansing, purifying the hearts. Of these, by the way, that we're doing bad stuff. Revelation 7:14. "I answered, 'Sir, you know,' and he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" So the blood of the Lamb is part of the confession that you and I can use. And if you'll be kind enough to close your eyes, put one hand over your heart, and say, "Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you are the one that does the cleaning."
You are the one that does the cleaning.
It's very clear from these examples.
It's very clear from these examples.
But by faith tonight.
By faith tonight.
I activate my heart.
To receive purification.
I know it's a process.
It may take some time.
But I want it done by you.
I've tried for a while.
Maybe some was effective.
But more than anything else.
It's clear by your spirit that you can do a job,
of purification.
So sweet
that I will smell like a rose
and face my Heavenly Father,
knowing that I'm sanctified
and purified by you.
And the finished work of Jesus
on the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory and honor to you alone. Hallelujah. That's it. When I was reading this morning, I was conscious of holding quite a few different individuals in my heart. And I said to the Lord, you know, give them the revelation. Give them the heart of our Savior Jesus. And tonight, where did Mary escape to? Oh, she's probably out with the phone, maybe?
Yeah.
She took this little lamb. I'm advertising on her, but it's really the obedience of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, he is being roasted. And she said those words. Did you hear it?
Yep.
Okay. After I held the lamb this way for quite a while, she pushed my hands like this, confirming that his heart was being transferred into my heart. Why? To verify the message. Now look at your neighbor, eyeball to eyeball. Say, Holy Spirit,
can transfer
the heart of Jesus,
just to me.
Because he loves me.
Hallelujah.
That's all that the Lord has for you tonight. Just share some hugs with each other. I do believe that Sunday is going to be
Fellowship Sunday.
So come prepared with whatever the Lord gives you to do. Amen? Huh? And we look forward to See you on Sunday.